Welcome to the Awakening to Abundance podcast. I'm your host, Athena. This podcast is more than a podcast. It's a transformative journey designed to help you awaken to your abundance, for you to discover what living the fullness of life means to you, and to co-create that life in this podcast community. As always, we're jumping right in with today's episode. Welcome to another episode of the Awakening to Abundance podcast. Today, I am very excited to introduce you to Liz Mays, who is both a friend and colleague of mine. She is also a military spouse. And so you're going to get to hear all about her interesting story, but I'm going to read her bio to you. And I want you to notice that I will read a lot of different bios of the people that I'm interviewing, and I think it actually says a lot about a person in their bio that they've written. And Liz has actually written it directly to you, as if she is speaking to you directly. So she says, "Hi, I'm Liz. Virginia born and raised, midlife mom who loves coffee, chocolate, and learning. A military spouse of 15 years. I've been with my husband since I was a teenager, and now we are raising two teenagers of our own. I lost my mother in 2021 to a 29-year battle with early onset Parkinson's disease, and much of my blog is a reflection of the grief I never let myself explore. I've lived in two countries, five states, and I love to travel, although these days I'm more of a homebody." And I'd like you to really focus in on a few things in this conversation. As we think about abundance as the fullness of life, and we think about manifestation as creating the life that we love, Liz is a really great example of doing this. And some of the things that she brings to the conversation are resilience, the ability to pick up and move and recreate herself wherever she goes within the military system, with her military family, her ability to recreate herself and to really reassess both her needs and her family's needs every time there is a big change, every time there is a big move, every time essentially life shakes everything up again. And not only is she able to do all these things, but she has this ability to really listen to herself and be guided into what does this particular duty station hold for us, for where we are in our lives, what we are in a family unit. And she supports herself. She gives herself permission. She supports herself with various other resources that allow her to fully, in alignment, live out what her and her family needs in any one given duty station at any one given time in their family. And then the last thing that I think is really worth noting is her ability to carry this sense of home within her and then to create it wherever she goes. And again, not just for herself, but for her family. And how impactful it is to have people who really know that it's not about the outer circumstances that change but it's about what comes from here. And that poem comes from here and is never changing in an ever-changing, out-picturing world. So this interview is from about a year and a half ago, and there won't be any video from me after the interview because, again, all of the nuggets are in the interview itself. But I think you're going to really enjoy Liz, and without further introduction, we're going to dive right in. So today we have Liz Mays with us. I'm really excited to have Liz on the podcast because her and I have known each other for about 2 years now. Has it been 2 years, Liz? Yeah-ish.
Yeah, going on.
Yeah, and Liz is a fellow military spouse, and that's how we initially connected. And she is so wonderful. She's got a beautiful family. She's been through so many different experiences in her life. She loves to travel. She loves to really talk in wholeness. She's into different companies and products that really focus on holistic health, and everything is wonderful with Liz. And so I'm so glad that you're here and you're going to be sharing with us, and we're just going to have a beautiful conversation today.
Wonderful. Thank you for that introduction. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Do you want to dig us a little deeper into your life?
Sure. So I think the best way to introduce myself, hello, I am Liz, is that I am very much in an evolution right now. And I think that is a beautiful place to be because so often we focus on our destination. And I recognize and am very much in the thick of an evolution of what I'm becoming. Yeah, I'm a military spouse. I am coming off of, around two to three years of a lot of change. And it feels like it's been a bit of a roller coaster, and it's starting to smooth out and getting a lot of clarity on things that I want to do. So I'm currently working on, I have this blog called Letters with Liz. It started as dealing with my grief from the loss of my mother. It's evolved into, it made me go back to realizing how much I love to write, whether it's blogging about travel and lifestyle and parenting and all of the things. I do partner with a couple of companies like Athena's Dad that just help contribute to overall wellness. And yeah, I am very excited about the future, even though I don't know exactly what it holds, but I think that's the most beautiful part of it.
Yeah, I love that. And so tell us how long you've been a military spouse now.
Sure. We are at 14 years. I think it's a little different. I was with my husband long before he joined the military. We started dating as high school sweethearts. I was 15, he was 17. And then he joined the military a little bit later at about age 25. I've been along for the whole journey, essentially. And in that time, we have moved 9 times. 2 of those have been overseas, and I think I calculated it's been 5 different states, a few we bounced back to. And 3 times since 2020, which is crazy. It's 2023, but we should be staying put for 3 years now.
Yeah. Are you excited to be in one spot for 3 years, or were you okay with the traveling every year and moving?
I was okay with it. One of those locations we didn't love so much, so it was nice to move on. And another one we knew was going to be short. So I think knowing that there was that end was good. But definitely after having so much change over that short time period, I'm very happy to just know that I don't have to worry about moving next summer or the summer after.
Yeah. So when you unpacked in this new place, were there different things going through your mind of this is different because we are going to be here for 3 years, and more so than any of the other places? Did you start thinking about plugging into a community more intentionally because you knew you were going to be there for longer, or not necessarily?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the number one thing, and you can almost see it behind me, is I actually decorated.
It's beautiful.
For a short amount of time. And I think our last place we lived was where I met you, was for 11 months. And at first I was like, we're going to hang things on the wall and make it feel like home. And about a month into it, I was like, nope, we're moving in 10 months. So yeah, there's a different approach to just the feeling of home. And what's really cool for us is this is our second time in this house, which never happens with military. We actually lived in this location from 2016 to 2019. and somehow managed to rent the exact same house. But yeah, definitely was very intentional. We got here with a month left of school, so I threw my kids into school so they can make friends. We got into summer sports. We joined the pool. All the things, because we knew that digging in fast is good to really give them more time with friends and just making it feel like home.
Yeah, that makes sense. Did you feel that urge to make home as quick as you did in those times when you were just there for a year? Or was it, we're only going to be here for a year, it's not even that big of a deal to get too plugged into community?
So in regards to here, where we are now, actually, the funny thing is I gave myself more time to settle in here. Just because of our timeline and knowing my husband had some training, and I from the start was like, you know what, we're not going to be really settled in until about 5-6 months from when we moved here. And I gave myself that permission. And actually, I think it gave us permission. We just settled into a groove without forcing or thinking about it, and then let the other things fall into place. Exactly what they did, which was nice. Instead of forcing it too much right away, but just giving ourselves time. Like in the previous location, we'd be over halfway by now. So
yeah,
slow it down a bit.
I love this theme too of home. There's that adage of home is where the heart is.
Yeah.
Having so many different homes. Do you agree with that? Do you have a different look upon that?
No, I believe it. It's funny because this right here says home is where the army sends us. Wherever we're together and where
the army sends us. Yeah.
And I really think that's true, because looking back just at these 14 years, we've lived in a small European town in a third floor apartment, a much smaller space where we walked everywhere and walked to get groceries. This house is much more expansive. We have a lot of space. And we've lived in everything in between, living on a military base. You're always tweaking the space. So how things look and feel is always a little different, but it's more about the different traditions and things that we do as a family, celebrating birthdays or holidays and our routine and each other. For me, that's definitely where home is, because the rest of it can change at any time and it's out of our control to a degree. So what we are in control of is what we are as a unit and as a family.
Yeah. And it goes back into that whole home isn't the exterior. It's what's inside of us. And it's what's inside of each of you in the family unit. Absolutely. Yeah.
There is some fun things where, oh, I remember that sign or that rug or that whatever. But even those things, 14 years, some of that's changed. We don't have the same couch. Those things are going to change anyway. The kids, even though it was summer, were like, oh, where are we going to put the Christmas tree this year? Like, it's different every time, but it's the getting the Christmas tree and the time it's been to do it together. Those things that have that sense of home for us.
Tell me about your creativity. I like to use the word creativity in conjunction with business, because I believe that no matter what we're doing, whether we have our own business, whether we're working for somebody else, whatever our employment status is, every single day we are creating. Tell me about your last 14 years of creating, and what did that look like with the moving around and all that?
For me, creating is always, I hate to use this word that our military spouses use a lot, but being adaptable to my situation.
Mm-hmm.
Every home, every employment, like sometimes I've been employed outside the home. Sometimes it's just not been possible. Sometimes I've made a choice to do things on my own. This word evolution constantly created my environment. And it's been so different every time in different stages of life and what I need, what our family needed, what was possible. They say hindsight's always 20/20, but it's so true, because it's interesting to look back and reflect on all of that and see that it's all been a part of bringing me to where I am now. And every part of it is important. I worked when I was pregnant with my first child, and we made a decision. We figured the math that I would be paying the job to work there.
Mm-hmm.
I had a child. So it was like, okay, it makes sense to stay home. So I was a stay-at-home mom for the first 5 years. And then the first time we moved here to DC, I said, you know what? It's my time. I'm going back to work. We ended up getting an au pair to move in with us and live with us, which was a big change. Looking at our lives now, it's not something that I would need, but it was so incredibly wonderful for that time in our lives and helped us. We still talk to her all the time.
I just want to pause you there, because I think a lot of people don't really fully either know what an au pair does, but also how did you have the consciousness? Was that something that you brought over from living abroad because you saw other people have that in their homes? I think for moms, especially when we think of career and creation, it almost feels like they have to choose, right?
Yeah.
Whether they want to have a family or they want to have a career. And it sounds like you really came to a creative solution of getting help in the home. So that way this could be your time in DC. And so how did that come about? What was the consciousness there that brought that about?
Yeah, absolutely. We did move here from Germany. And I definitely think that influenced it. We were here and I was working for probably about a year before this came about. And it came about from multiple perspectives. One, coming from Germany, thinking, how cool would it be for someone to continue to help our kids speak German?
Mm-hmm.
Our oldest at the time was fluent for a five-year-old. If you've lived in DC, the commuting, and we had kids like one in preschool, one in regular school, and one was in a school pretty far away. And so it was just turning into almost 2 hours in the morning and the evening, just trying to navigate and do all that. And then you look at the cost too. So it came to us from multiple perspectives, doing some research and also doing some internal work. I thought this would be a great solution, but also I felt some guilt about it because it is not anything that anyone in my family, whether it be my parents and grandparents up the line that way, or like aunts and uncles and cousins, I have a huge family. It's just not the way that anyone has done anything.
Mm.
And this perception of it as, oh, rich people do that, or it's more of a to give mom a break kind of a thing. It was just these perceptions I had around it. Deciding to have someone live in your house with you is a big thing. We're big homebodies and it's a lot to consider. I love the idea of having my kids come home earlier, not having to be in daycare until forever, until we could get there. It's like the next best step to me being home, but I really want to be out there working. That's something that my heart desired. So it was like the best of both worlds to come home. They're already settled. There's other things around the house being done.
You could have that real quality time. So you were going to work and then coming back home and then having to do all the things that aren't exciting, like all the things that we have to do, get our kids ready, make the dinner and lunches for the next day, et cetera, et cetera. You wanted to come home and be present with your children.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
When everyone's walking in the door at 6 or 7 o'clock, it's just chaos. And I know so many families go through it. It's just chaos until bedtime. But coming home and they've already been home for a couple hours, so that initial chaos, maybe some homework is done. They've been able to just regulate themselves a little bit and chill. And it just made the whole environment at home nice. And on top of it, so much nicer to have this person who we loved, who built relationships with our children, as opposed to just a daycare, or especially when we move a lot, those environments change or the people that work there change. It just contributed to everything I wanted. It's like being a stay-at-home mom, but not.
It's such a creative solution to having all your desires, working outside the home, coming home and spending real present time with your family. And then it also is abundant for her. She had a beautiful experience with your family. You said you guys are still in touch.
Yeah, she got to travel so much. I think she's been to more places in the U.S. than I have at this point. And with the exception of one location, she has visited us everywhere we've lived since she lived with us.
Yeah.
She's very much a part of our family at this point. And honestly, a lot of times catching up, it's she and I. Like the kids, of course, talking to her and love her. She's mid-20s now and going into the real world herself. It was very cool to be a part of her life during that school time as well.
I love the community aspect of it and that building of relationships. So also, I wanted to ask about this particular time in your life. You said it was the desire of your heart to go back to work. So what did that look like? Was it because you guys were in DC? Was it because you had been with the kids for 5 years? Mm-hmm. And I guess it was just your firstborn at that point.
The kids are a little less than 2 years apart. So 5 years from starting with the first one. I never thought that I would be home with the kids for 5 years. But towards the end of that, again, we were in Germany for 2 years. And before that, we were in Arizona for a year. So those environments just made working outside of the home impossible. Shouldn't say impossible, but more challenging. I did look for employment when we were in Germany. And it just seemed like one roadblock after another. The on-post daycare provided by the military would shut down, and then it would just seem like there was constant problems, so it wasn't consistent or reliable. And then once I had my son enrolled in the German kindergarten, which was much more reliable, I would apply for jobs. And I remember one of them specifically, the bank on the base, and they said, there's someone that's going to be here longer than you, which couldn't get away with that these days. So by the time we got here to DC, it was right around the 5-year mark. And I was like, the opportunities are huge here, more so than anywhere else. It's not a small town. It's not in Europe. And it just felt like the right time and opportunity. In addition to going back to work, and then we had an au pair come, and then I said, well, you know what? I need to get my master's. And I felt very strongly. I remember very specifically, I was very excited about the job that I applied for and ended up taking. And I took it with, I was like, this is not where I belong. I belong more in management, higher level. But this will be a good starting point, and I will immediately start looking to make my way and move up in the company. And I also said, I've been out of work for so long. An MBA is what I need. And I just had this mentality that the work harder and do more and get more education is what you needed to be successful. And again, like I said, I don't regret any of that. It's all part of the journey. I'm glad I have my MBA, and I'm glad for that work experience. It was very wonderful. But a lot of those things that I thought would happen did not. And now my definitions of success have changed. And kids at those young ages, it was much more physical needs, which someone else could help me with. And now my kids are tweens and weren't about to be a teenager, and they have much more emotional needs, and they need me home. I know that's not possible for all parents. It's interesting now because I don't feel that pull as much to be out of the home for 40 plus hours a week, because I see that my work is here. I'm looking for that way, and I'm building right now that way to have both. But it is a balance, because I couldn't have known back then when they were little how much they would need from me in a different way now.
That's so beautiful, because you're back in DC now, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And so it's almost this full circle. Yeah. And so you worked it out back then when you were first in DC to have what you wanted, your desires. And now you're back in DC and you've realized you have different desires for this particular time with your family and with your creation. So let's get into that a little bit more. Where are you in your creation? And tell us about the desires now that you have in DC with your family. And how did you move into that?
Yeah, gosh, I feel like I fell into it. What I've learned is that any sort of action and movement forward a lot of times leads me to solutions and ideas that I didn't realize were a part of the path. Mm. And just continuing to move forward that brings that. So for the past probably about 3 years, I've been doing some affiliate marketing or direct sales with companies. And I really poured everything into just those. And what I love about it, all the personal development that came through that, is that that really is what helped me see more of what was important, which is, if you want to make it very simple, there's time and money. You need both, but one is replaceable, one is not. And having so many moves back to back, unintentionally, the move here, I just toss things aside a little bit and just focus on, especially with my kids and the transitions being harder, I just focus on family and other things I would do when I thought about it, but I just didn't force myself. And the subconscious pushed me into wanting to do more things for myself. I started my blog back up before we moved, and really it was just me digging into grief for myself, writing letters to my mom. I'm the age that she was when she was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. So there was a lot of alignment in where I am now and where she was. And then in doing all that writing, it made me realize how much I missed writing. Mm-hmm. We get so stuck in the day-to-day or the have-to-do things that I just over the years got away from the writing. And so then it evolved into doing not just grief writing, but writing about, I've gone on some amazing trips this summer and writing about them and parenting. I feel like I've always, whether it's parenting or my own path, I feel like I've always done a path less traveled. And so learning to share more about that, because there are people who identify with that as well. And just learning to have my voice a bit more. With all that is a newsletter, which just sounds so simple. Most people who have a blog or a business of any sort have a newsletter. And I just, for some reason, I don't even know if it was fearful, but I just didn't for these last 3 years. I made a decision to dive in. Actually, I'm going to send out the first one tomorrow.
Yay.
And each step that I've taken to move this direction with the writing and the blog, and I do have a book that I want to eventually finish and write as well. I have a picture of where it all ends, but I also don't have the full picture. And I actually think that's beautiful. And I love that because every day when I'm working and doing what I love, it's pushing me in that direction. And I know that it doesn't have to be completely visible right now, but that it's going to be wonderful when I get there. And I just need to, I'm in the stage now of doing what I love, but putting in the work, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds too, even like that, it's not even work as we put it into quotations, right? It's the creating, because you said every day I get up and I do what I love.
Yeah.
And so when we're actively creating in something that we love, it doesn't actually feel like work. Also, you're moving forward, and in moving forward in creating, the clarity comes to what will the next step look like, or what will the next project be, or what will the next creation look like that could be combined with something that is something even bigger that I hadn't even thought of.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a few years ago, it would have scared me too much, because it's, what are you doing with your time, Liz? What exactly are you doing? But it's just, I can see, yeah, I just love seeing the little pieces of clarity that come with it. And yeah, it's just beautiful.
So let's talk more about that. Because I think this is such an important piece of abundance, of life alignment, authenticity, right? Allowing ourselves the space, getting out of that mindset that doing more and accomplishing and rushing around and going. Our society really looks at that as achievements. You have success in life if that's what you're doing. That's the gold standard. That's what everyone is expecting you to do. And it's really interesting and funny that it's actually the opposite. It's the reverse. When we give ourselves the space and the time and the freedom to just be in creation and find what makes us actually happy, what we actually want to do, that's where all the abundance is. That's where the joy and the ease and the flow is. That's where you're able to step outside of the, okay, what do I really need it to look like? The whole picture, so that way I'm going for something, I can put it on a to-do list so I can check it off, right? It allows us to get into the uncertainty, the unknown. And although that can seem scary and for society and saying you have to always be going for something very specific, it can be scary because you are going against the grain, just like you said.
Yeah.
So tell me more about, how did you get here? How did you move from that space and doing to allowing yourself to be more?
Right. I think a lot of it has to do with when we got here, knowing that the next 6 months that we would not, as a family unit, be in a routine until at least 6 months, when there's just lots of things that were happening in that in between. And so I feel like that allowed me to slow down. For example, there'd be some weeks that I was online job searching a whole lot. And I still have weeks that I do that. I like to be very aware of what's going on, but I'd have weeks where I do that. And I have weeks where I would just pour into sitting at the pool all day with the kids. I did a couple of trips visiting my husband when he was doing training overseas. And I just gave myself permission to live in the moment through the summer and gradually unpack, and knowing if I unpack, great. If I don't, I gave myself 6 months. So there's time to get things in order. And it's in that slowing down. I'm one of those people that very much has voices in my head constantly. But I was able to listen more and be more aware, learning a lot of awareness, especially in some of the work that we've been doing. And so it was just like baby steps here and there. And then at one point when I decided some of these things that I wanted to create it, I sat and looked, and what I saw were a lot of work all of a sudden. And it was like, what do I do? And again, just like baby stepping. And the more I would baby step into writing and then what if I do a little something about travel on my blog? But the voices in my head would say, oh, but Liz, that's not what your blog's about. It's about grief. And then I'd say, what if I wanted to be about more? It's just very gradual. And then by being more present and slowing down and listening to those around me too, I share a lot on my Instagram about my day-to-day journey. And when I was traveling, I do the same. I've done that for years. We've lived overseas twice. So that's definitely not something new to me, but I had several people reach out. They're like, your storytelling when you're traveling, you can see you just light up. And so it's not that I hadn't ever considered diving into that side of things too, with travel and sharing about really cool trips and places to go and things to do. It's almost like I need that little, hey, have you ever thought about this? And I was getting several nudges, as you'd say, from the universe that I needed them from not within my own head. I needed other nudges. It's just been lots and lots of baby steps. But I really think the crux of it is that moving here and knowing that it's going to be 3 years and saying, you know what, you've got 6 months to just settle in. There's no rush on anything. It allowed me to slow down and hear a lot more of what was happening inside of me and around me. Go with it.
Yeah. It's funny, this illusion of time and the thought that there is such a finite aspect to it. And in a way, there is. But I think that we tend to make it, and often subconsciously, right, such a big driver of don't want to miss out, don't want to not experience something. And I think that really drives the doing. We have to keep doing because we have to show something for our time that we're using. And when we really start to take that illusion of time off, whether that's allowing yourself the 6 months or whatever to unpack and really settle in, or a year or something to create a business or whatever, the pressure is taken off and the creativity can really come because you're not giving it an end time. You're saying, like, here, creativity flow from me. Yeah. When we kind of lift that away, then we're just free to create. And when that freedom comes in and there's no expected outcome, there's no tangible thing that I have to have by the end of the day.
Yeah.
That it just flows, and it flows much faster than I think we had ever anticipated.
100%. Slow down to speed up. It's so true. Slowing down, the creativity, once it started going, it just took off. I think what you said about there being this pressure with time, it's so true. And what I think about too, in terms of with my kids, is he's actually seen this a lot circulating in the summer times. These, you only get 18 summers or whatever it is. There's only 6 summers, and people are like, oh my gosh, I'm so sad. My kids are, they're going to be my kids forever. You know, it has this pressure to, like, pressure to do what? So that pushes you away from being present.
Yes.
You're worried about time passing, and therefore you're not being in it. I think the last time we were here, I felt that pressure. I have to do. I missed out on 5 years. Now I have to work twice as hard to make up for those years. But I think just removing that pressure, and that's not always easy, but a lot of times I think it's much more self-inflicted than we realize too.
Yeah. And learning to be more in that present moment, we can catch ourselves, obviously, when we're having a moment of, oh, don't enjoy this for too long because you have to keep it moving. We can point out that fear a little bit more. And then we can also say, wow, I'm really actually enjoying taking this moment to stare at my little girl as she's doing whatever at the kitchen table, or stopping and literally smelling a rose and seeing how beautiful it is. You know, a lot of creatives do this too when they're in it. Sometimes we can hit a flow state of creating and time passes by quickly. And other times when we're not feeling as aligned and it feels like we're really trying to create something and it's not humming to us, you're just staring at the blank page or whatever, and you're like, what do I want to say, or how do I want to say it? And you feel blocked. You can be like, why is this taking so long?
That's so true. I was just thinking that a lot of the things in life that serve us well, I don't know if you want to say for health or longevity or whatever, but I feel like a lot of those involve slowing down. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe is what's so hard. I'm trying to be intentional about grounding I laughed. Even my dad, lifelong nurse, he's like, I just saw a documentary about how great grounding is, all this research and all. But grounding can be like a minute, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be long, but how many days do I have? Like, oh, I don't have time to do that. Where if you just take a moment, slow down, or taking a moment to slow down and eat instead of eating as you're working in front of the screen. Mm-hmm. I'm very big on exercise and movement. Sometimes it's 15 minutes. That's all it is. It's 15 minutes of a day. That's not a lot of time. But slowing down enough just to make time for those little things.
Intentional, right? Being intentional.
Intentional with time. I think that's probably one of the hardest things as humans, because we're so used to doing, and being means we have to slow down.
Yeah. And when you talk about grounding, you're talking about centeredness, like taking a moment just to get centered, or?
Grounding the physical feet on grass and like having time connecting with the earth.
Perfect. I wasn't sure, because I know that it's also known as earthing. And so I wasn't sure what grounding you're talking about. So yeah, the act of just literally going outside and having our bare feet on the ground. Yeah.
And actually today I was out, I had dogs, so we're always up early. And I was like, oh, but the grass is wet. Who wants to put their feet in wet grass? But I was like, you can clean them with, it's not that big of a deal. So I just did my toes at first and I was like, oh, okay. But I'm standing there watching them anyways. It's just funny how we make those decisions.
I didn't know about grounding or earthing before this year, actually. Just to let our listeners know, it's really, again, as simple as going outside and having your feet on the ground, whether that's in the grass, whether that's in the sand on a beach, and you don't necessarily have to have any movement. You can just be sitting. And essentially what's happening is there's energy that comes into our bodies when we're connecting to the energy of the earth, and it gives us kind of a neutralization, a grounding sense of centeredness, but there's actual energetics going on with that. And I'll put a link in the show notes too. There's a book, a documentary. It is a lot of fun. So when did you start doing that, Liz, like on the regular?
I think probably about a year ago when we were in California. We were so close to the beach and sand. When I think of grounding, I think of putting my feet somewhere that I enjoy and feels good, which of course sand is much better than wet ground. At home, didn't always do it in the morning, but I loved to go whenever I could, even for just a few minutes, to the beach, put my feet in the sand, and just the beach is just soothing for me anyways. But there's so many things out there to do, right, for health and all. I think you have to just take what works for you and block out the rest. And I really took on to it when we were living by the beach, but it's just as effective wherever you are. It's just connecting to the earth.
Yeah, I think I've been doing it for the last 7 months. I think I learned about it this year. I try to go to the beach as much as possible and do it that way. And I'll even work at the beach. Like I'll take my computer or my phone or a notebook and have my feet in the sand. So I'm essentially grounding without even really trying to ground. And so it can be that simple as well. So how did you hear about it? Did you see a documentary or read the book, or?
I'm not sure if I even remember exactly where. I'm sure probably my social media algorithm was like, you're thinking about grounding.
Uh-huh.
If it's something you do in the morning, involved also with the sun, if the sun is out, I think it also helps your circadian rhythm. One thing mm-hmm. I'm big on is trying to make sleep better for me. And I think that's another way that also can help you sleep better, is getting your body activated that it's daytime.
That makes sense. So tell us a little bit more about the creative offerings that you have that people can check out currently.
Absolutely. So the blog Letters with Liz, we can include a link, I'm sure, as well.
Yep.
A lot of what I have on there is, I am the age that my mom was diagnosed with a disease she battled with for 29 years. My daughter is the age that I was when she was diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And so it just sparked a lot of creativity in me writing letters to mom as I experienced things with my daughter and asking questions that I would love to ask her and can't, of course, she's not here. And didn't ask earlier on in life. So it's a lot of internal looking, but also dealing with all of this also impacts my parenting. And it's really helped me feel connected as well with my mom. So that also evolved to writing more things about parenting. One thing I'm very big on is no social media. I know it's hard, have a 10 and a 12-year-old. That's worth a lot. But writing about things like that, as well as travel. I love traveling, specifically Europe, but I also love traveling local within where you are. And so all of these things I am writing about on my blog. And I also have an Instagram. It's just my name, Liz M. Mays. And I share a little bit of everything, all the same topics that you're hearing with my blog, but also this phase of parenting that I'm in with tweens, the mom groups disappear and it's a much harder stage for parents. You feel a lot more alone. The challenges that you're dealing with are bigger and scarier. And I don't want us to feel alone. Build a community there and a little bit of fun and humor too. Another thing that I'm working on personally is I'm in deconstruction, as they call it, with faith and religion after growing up in the church. Why I want to start my newsletter is there are some things that are just not long enough or worthy of a blog, but they're not quite appropriate for social media. And so my newsletter is going to be my community to talk about these things. Like, we talk about social media and how kids shouldn't have it, or what are some studies and what are some resources or things that I've learned, or what am I doing? And so my newsletter is an offering there for anyone who wants to follow along, and really meant to be more of a conversation, not just me saying things at you, but let's build a community and get through this life together.
Beautiful. So we'll have links to all that in the show notes as well. You also mentioned that you're in transition with your religious / spiritual journey. Would you mind telling us a little bit about that?
Sure. So the background is I grew up in the church, in a Methodist church. Had a wonderful, beautiful upbringing in church. My mom actually taught one of the Sunday school classes for a while. Was very involved with youth. Actually, that's where my husband and I met. It was a youth group from multiple churches. We youth used our talents to put on a production. I danced. I grew up as a dancer. My husband was playing guitar at the time. He was not a part of that specific church, but his girlfriend was. But all that to say, I grew up in the church. It was beautiful. Visited grandparents, go to their church. It's very much a part of my life. However, we definitely were not the type that reading the Bible and all of that was a huge part of home life. And as we got married, got involved in the military, moved around, just like every other piece of change, finding a church is difficult. Sometimes we found one, sometimes we didn't. But as we moved, like I said, to two different countries and five different cities all across the U.S., sometimes you find that fit, sometimes don't, and you learn or hear different things that are just like, I'm not so sure about that. And so all of these were little, again, baby steps where I was like, I'm not really sure where I feel or how I stand. And really, for me, I'd say it was 2019 into 2020, when we got to North Carolina, again, we found ourselves saying, we should find a church. And for the last three locations, we'd said that and never done it. And I'm like, why is that? It's hard, but it's not that hard. Why? We haven't even tried going to any churches. And my husband and I realized, like, why are we trying to force that? Maybe there's something there that we don't want that for our family. And I stopped trying to force that as something for us. And then I started to really pay attention. I've always been very aware of people around me. And especially, I noticed people who were very clearly big in their church, because they will let you know things on the surface. Conversations that were not in public. I was very shocked. I started to realize that there was this disalignment for me on what I thought everyone I was growing up in church with believed. And what, and I don't know, I don't have that direct communication to the people I grew up with in church anymore. There's no way I'll ever know, but I just started to see this break between what I thought was good, moral, kind values and what was actually being practiced in the church. And I decided that's not what I wanted for myself. The age my kids are right now, I see a lot of friends that are, their kids are getting baptized at 12, and they're saying that their kid chose to be baptized and they're so proud. And in some of these instances, I know them and I know their child. And I'm like, wait a minute. So it's one thing to see a person and you're like, okay, good for them. But when you know more of their backstory and you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't actually seem like what I see on a day-to-day basis. And I think it's hard for me because what I'm doing is judging. That's what I don't want others to be doing as well. So it's definitely a journey, but realizing that where I am now is that I don't feel that I align with being in a church unless I just happen to find one that has some values that I share, and that I just need to be on this journey on my own and work on my own spirituality. And I'm very much more looking beyond just Christianity at this time. I've discovered some practices that are more popular in other religions and found them to be helpful, and have found that instilling morals and just good, kind behavior in my children doesn't have to align specifically with the church.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so interesting that when you brought it up about how at the different places that you guys have moved to, there's just been this habitual question of, oh, okay, we move to a new place, we unpack our things, and then we're supposed to, quote, quote, find a church home, right? Because that's probably what we were raised with. And so it's my responsibility as a parent, because I saw my parent do it, to get my kids into a church and have this church community. And I appreciate so much that you guys recognized the pattern of being like, oh yeah, we should probably do this, and then not actually do it, and then actually question it. Like, why aren't we actually doing it if we're continuing to say we should, quote unquote, do this? I think that awareness is beautiful. You said something about feeling like you're judging people or situations. I think we can tend to use the word judgment out of context or look at it in a negative way when it's not necessarily that we're trying to judge someone in a negative way. We're just trying to get curious. We're just trying to figure out what feels authentic to ourselves. And it's okay, because we all do this. In order to figure out what we want and what feels aligned, we have to figure out what we don't want or doesn't feel aligned. And so I think continuing to give yourself that self-permission and know that it's not necessarily a negative judgment, right? That it is your journey of alignment and authenticity and trying to figure out what really spiritually aligns with you and your family, if that's what you choose to bring them into too, I think is beautiful. And I appreciate, because I have a very similar story, I appreciate the idea of looking at different religions and taking different practices and beliefs and rituals from them and seeing what really resonates with you. And that's okay, because we get to create our own reality. We get to create the relationship that we have with the universe, God, whatever we want to call it. We get to call it what we want to call it too. I think, especially when we grow up in the church, we're told very much that this is the right way of doing things and the right way to believe things and do things. And especially because there are so many morals and values associated with it, even more, it's hard for us to break out of it and question it and become curious, because it's often the community that helped bring us up. So it's almost, I don't want to question the community that helped to grow me, but also it doesn't fit right anymore. I want to expand a bit. I want to get out of it. And I think it just tends to be a little bit more difficult versus something that you like learned in school that now you're rethinking and you don't really think that way anymore. I think because there's values and morals associated with it, there's even more of a right versus wrong there.
Yeah. And I find as my kids are growing, I'll be at peace with, okay, we're not going to find a church home. And clearly I want to raise good, moral, kind children. But I'll find along the way that there are little things that'll give me guilt. Like my son recently joined Boy Scouts, and I don't think I realized how connected Boy Scouts is to the church. And there's part of this whole thing that he had to recite when he joined, and it talked about God a little bit. And I like felt myself internally go, ooh, and not because he said God, like, that's what they choose. And like I said, I still believe in God and all of those things. But I was like, oh, he probably doesn't know what he's saying or what he's supposed. And so I felt that moment of guilt. So it's always a challenge. And I think it will continue to be as they grow. because especially my husband and I met in church and we grew up in church. So there's going to be those times of wanting them to have the experiences we had with childhood, but relearning that they can have those experiences. It just doesn't have to be the same way or inside of church.
You're really having to get yourself out of that box of this is how I was raised and this is what we did as a family. And you're saying we can choose something different. And they can still choose to go to church, I'm sure, if they wanted to, right? Exactly.
We do go to the family church. We're very much happy there. And I think that's one of the interesting things. It doesn't mean I'm completely against all places all the time. And I also think if my mother was still here today, she was very much about caring for people and being kind and moral. And I really think that if she had been present of mind enough over the last 10 years, she would be right here with me in it, which I think is very cool too. It was what we did from her upbringing. It was like, put your kids in church. You want to raise good citizens of society. And I think it feels very good to me to know. I think she'd be right here with me too.
Yeah.
No, this doesn't seem right.
Yeah. That's sweet. Is there anything else you want to say on that subject?
I don't think so.
Okay. Great. All right. Like I said, we will share all the links of yours and we'll share those grounding links as well. Liz, I greatly appreciate your time and sharing the life lessons that you've come upon and just your perspective on things, your presence. So thank you so much for being here. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode and being part of this community. I want to hear from you. Did something resonate with you in this episode? Are you experiencing awakenings or synchronicities in your life? Do you have any questions or ideas for the podcast in general? Email me at podcast@abundancewithathena.com or DM me on Instagram at abundancewithathena and share with me your stories. And with your permission, I'll share them with our community. And until next time, keep awakening to the abundance that's always within you.